next day, and Doric, you are awoken to some banging on the outside of the Winnebago. Someone's pounding on one of the doors.
Doric instinctively draws the blaster and glances through the sort of portal.
Yeah, and you see it's Roel Saad. He's got a duffel bag over his shoulder. He looks like that classic pink box, which is probably holding donuts or pastries. He's just pounding on the door. He's like,
"Hey, I'm just saying. It's just an observation. For a strict military guy, you like your sleep."
Doric opens his door. "How long were you out looking for snacks?"
"Yeah, so hey, yo, you know, so I came back and you were asleep. And so I went over with my cousins, had a few drinks. And then I came back and you were still asleep. Or you were sleeping. And then I had drinks. I don't remember. And then about that time, I decided I needed to get some sleep. So I found a spot to sleep. And by the time I woke up, I started smelling some pastry. You know, and the pastries are really good in the morning, so here we are."
"Well, glad you're in one piece. Just set it down over on the counter. And we can see that Doric has done a couple things to sort of tidy up. It's still actually somewhat disheveled right now."
"Mm-hmm.
No, just move, put the carcass back over there."
He drops it down.
"So you, where do you want to eat? You want to eat up in the bago? You want to eat up in the ship? You tell me."
"Mess hall of the ship. We'll see if our ride has managed to break even or not."
"Sure." You guys make your way up to the mess hall. There, like I said, droids moving about. And when you get there, it's very small, very sparse kind of thing. Again, not a luxury freighter you're on. There's some tables, looks like some refrigerated storage units for some basic foods. And there's just a few others that's kind of minding their own business, other passengers that Trix must have signed up before. I don't know. What aliens do you want to be on the ship with you?
What aliens can we put on here without breaking the lore even worse than we used
to? Whoa, hey, why do we care about lore?
fair point.
I don't even know if Claudites would be on this planet. I just literally did random Star Wars alien, and that was what came up on my list.
Fair. I like the idea of an Ithorian, for one.
Okay.
Yeah, the hammerhead looking fellas.
Okay.
This is on Ryloth. I guess there would be a higher than average number of Twi'leks.
Okay. We'll say there's the one Ithorian who is sitting off to the corner, sound asleep, kind of snoring loudly. And there seems to be like two families of Twi'leks. Two parental figures, couple kids, and another single parental figure with a handful of kids. So we'll say three adults and like eight total kids.
The single parental figure, by the way, I think he has four cyber arms.
He has what?
He has four cyber arms.
Oh, four cyber arms. I will say this, that you watch the little Twi'leks play. And you definitely see them playing with, like, action figures. And there is definitely a multi-tentacled little alien. There is one playing with what looks to be, like, whatever the Star Wars equivalent of Gem in the Holograms is. Which is, like, a red Twi'lek.
It's exactly. Just Gem and a bunch of library books.
Well, I like the idea that it'd be like projectors from Holocron type things. It's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, I know. I was just making the cheap pun.
Oh yeah, that's our brand, man.
Doric looks at the Twi'lek and the little action figure of the tentacled alien, and he smiles as he thinks of all the crazy shit Anarchy does with her arms.
Yeah, they're all sitting there. You guys sit down. And you see all the little eyes from those children kind of look over at you and look at that pink box and look at you and just kind of stare.
Now I'm thinking about how does Mandalorian culture work on this?
Yeah, okay. All right, kids, if you want a pastry, you got to start a fight club. Pastries are for winners.
Dork looks down at the bag, looks at the kids. Dork sets the bag down on a table and sets down a set of these cupcakes and just pretends as if he's leaving there for just a second and walks off, leaving several of these treats for the children, but not saying anything or implying that they're for them exactly.
So the kids kind of sit there, look at their parents, look at you, and you see that the parental ones are kind of looking at you kind of quizzically, like, is this person trying to poison our kids or be nice? And what is the most reassuring face Dork can make? Is it a big smiler? A solemn nod?
Dork very slightly inclines his head. completely stony expression. And he studiously turns his head away towards the other end of the mess hall. Oh, wait, is this the mess hall itself?
Say it again?
Is this like a lower level or is this the mess hall?
This is like the mess hall. This would be like where the eating will happen on the ship. It's probably lower in the ship. It's like right off the loading area type situation.
Fair enough. He can't go. He's going to be here for a while. So he sighs and nods and sort of waves towards the food. And to show that the food is okay, he grabs a pink frosted cupcake and takes a bite.
Okay. We'll let the force decide how well this goes over. We'll roll a force dice. Oh.
Oh no. They think, why are you trying to poison our kids, you weirdo?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the kids reaches out and one of the parents just kind of a light tap on the hand and goes,
hey, don't take food from strangers. And look at them. Could they be any more strange?
Dork shrugs and begins putting the cupcakes back into the bag.
Yeah, so they do that kind of parent thing where they pull their kids a little bit closer and kind of put themselves in between themselves and Dork. So now their kids are away and they're kind of side to back, kind of blocking Dork from seeing their kids.
Parenting.
Okay,
what's that like? Wonder what that's like.
You're paying for passage on like a definitely like either like unmarked
the equivalent of like the Greyhound ship. Bus with like half the seats are missing, sort of
thing. Exactly. Like, everyone on here is on here for questionable reasons, and you're here by yourself with no kids, and it's like, don't trust this guy.
Dork keeps his eye out to see if Nyx is back.
Yeah, you can hear her off in the loading area just shouting instructions towards the droid, saying,
we're out of here in 5. If you guys are not done, I'm taking off and leaving all of you behind. And trust me, they'll turn you guys into scraps. So, chop, chop.
And she kind of just strides in and walks by, not really greeting anyone or saying hi to anybody, but pauses, sees that last cupcake Dork was about to reach and grab, and just grabs it herself, throws the wrapper on the ground as a droid kind of swoops by to pick it up and takes a big bite.
You have good timing.
That's how I've stayed alive this long. We're out of here in 5. Any last minute business, get it done now. We're not coming back.
I think Dork's handled everything he needs to handle. Cool. Yeah. No last minute raids from desert gangs.
Oh, that means I have to flip 2 dark side points, and the Sith show up.
I cannot stress this enough, dear listener. We do not, I repeat, do not see a Twi'lek orphan being carried into the sky by a desert eagle. Desert
fact. I just flipped 2 dark side points, and one of the passengers, the Emperor. What?
Yeah, these are all a mixture of the desert gangsters and Imperial spies.
Oh no, even better. They're all secret Sith agents. Dun 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 dun. No, we'll say the ship takes off. Nimoy, I'm going to give you the power. What is the name of Trixie Mix's ship?
Ooh, I had a name that popped in my. Give me a second. Oh yeah. So Trixie Mix, as we know, is somewhat of a gambler.
Yep.
And there is a particular game played with holo cards. Where let's say it's there are various cards that are printed. The exact system sort of varies, but generally there is a set of like different cards with characters from mythic legends that you will play in a sort of competitive sport against one another. They are uniquely verifiable due to magic sci-fi stuff, and so you will trade these particular cards. And of these particular cards, there are specific attribute there are like different factions with from the different mythic groups, and they're divided by color. And so Trixie Mix, when she used to play this game, would always choose the blue and purple factions, which is collectively referred to as Blurple. She used a Blurple deck, so her the name of her ship is Always Bet on Blurple.
Always Bet on Blurple. Trying to imagine the name of this game.
This game is called Force the putting together of it.
She's a big FTG player.
No, we can't use gathering. That's good. Hold on. Gathering synonyms. Force the congregation. Force the congregation. There we go.
Jeez, I love it. FTC. All right, so always bet on Blurple or never bet on Blurple?
Always bet on Blurple.
I always bet. I'm writing this down so we actually remember. And I assume that's Blurple, Blurple.
Yes. You forgot the apostrophes, but...
That's Blu apostrophe Rple? Well, it's Blurple, so it'd be after the R, I guess. Crazy Star Wars language.
Oh, yeah, I noticed when he said, yeah, I just hold down my A, and I'm like, ah, you know, High Galactic. Mm. A plebeian would call it Alec.
Man, trying to be professional and take notes. All right, there we go. All right, so the Always Bet on Blurple slowly rises up. And Doric, you notice it rises slower than it should. And... you don't know if it's because it's overloaded with cargo. Is it an older ship? Are they just trying to save fuel? But it's definitely in your head. You're like, I've been on freighters. They shouldn't be going this slow. And there's a little, you know, louder than it should be, but it gets into the atmosphere. And in a few moments, it is jumping into hyperspace. So as usual, I have no idea how fast hyperspace is, whether this is a 1 day trip, 3 month trip, who knows? But over this time, I just want, what is one thing that Doric tries to do to get those parents to not be so afraid of him?
Interesting. That is interesting. That is not a question he usually has to answer.
I mean, first thing that come to my mind, I would think that he might try to use some of the Mandalorian training, whatever stuff he did as a kid, to make like kids games to help entertain the kids so the parents could relax a little bit. Maybe he tells like stories from Mandalore to entertain the children. Does he do sock puppets? I don't know. Does he juggle?
Yeah, I think one day, like, an inquisitive Twilight child finally is like, who is this mysterious man? I'm going to ask him a question. And then that winds up with him sort of sitting on a crate in the cargo hold, telling a classic Mandalorian tale. And he manages to inherit from Skip a tiny bit of storytelling prowess, and he does, like, the animal noises. And then... the cliff worm reared back up and it roared. And
What
yeah.
Mr. the Dork, what did the cliff worm sound like?
Well, it sounded like a cliff worm, of course.
I've never met a cliff worm.
You haven't? Well,
this is my first time off planet.
Well, have you heard what a desert falcon sounds like?
I love that show when they go follow the animals. I've definitely seen a desert falcon. They're very scary.
Oh, yes. Ah, he pauses for a second. Would you like to see a desert falcon skeleton?
You see their eyes get just huge.
Dork walks over towards his RV and pulls the desert falcon skeleton that hangs off the back of his truck. Now this fella, rest assured, he was the one who came after me. Now, he put up a good fight. He was clawing and scratching and trying to carry me right up into the sky. But, the thing you always learn, he pulls out from the pocket, always carry a vibroblade, or a vibronecler, or shock gloves, or something small you can keep in your hands, so when someone tries to grab you, you just hit him, like this, and he gently punches the rib cage with the little vibroblade.
And the little kids are
okay, so we have to go find knives. Okay, we're gonna go look for knives.
Now, the most important thing to understand with any weapon is that as much as it can hurt others, it can hurt you as well. All right? And he pauses for a second, and he actually goes back into the RV and pulls out a small handful of little metal rods. And he says, now, back where I'm from, before they taught you to fight with knives, they taught you to use these, all right? It's the same, it's roughly the same weight, but it's not sharp, so you can't cut yourselves. If you really want to learn how to fight, start by knowing the weight of this thing in your hand and how to hit people with it quickly. But don't hit each other unless you agree to it.
So I like that over this multi-day journey. This goes from story time to we see Dork actually training these kids in like self-defense. And they're learning like this. I mean, you're not going full on Mandalorian throwing them into space nonsense that you were trained on. But like they learn to parry, how to dodge and roll, and basically yeah, how to keep someone away.
Yeah, we have the little montage of like they're running across the RV and then they roll onto like a set of mats he set down. Good job, little horn. Perfect roll.
So, let's see. I want to have a roll to see how well this goes over. What do you think would be a roll for Dork in this? Would this be a warfare thing? Would this be a charm thing?
Could I make the argument for a discipline check?
Discipline? Okay, I like that. I like that it is a discipline because you are dealing with children and you're trying to get them to focus and follow along.
He has to do it without beating them, which is a very important sort of thing.
Let me see. I don't generally have a sheet. Yeah, because the only sheets that I have on adversaries for child is young Anakin Skywalker or young Boba Fett. All right, we'll say if Anakin Skywalker by Star Wars adversaries says that he's got three discipline, I will say these kids, you're going to go against two discipline. Mm-hmm. So say two purple.
These kids grew up on the street. They know.
Yeah, we'll say two. These kids lived on the hard side of this planet. They've, had a rough upbringing, so they're a little more set in their ways. So roll against two. We'll see how well this goes over.
So we know something for a fact. He did not instill a sense of discipline into them, because I got one failure and four advantages. So it's very clear he did not instill a sense of discipline into them. But
I like the idea that the failure means that though the kids absolutely love Doric, the parents do not like the idea of this guy training their kids how to fight. So this becomes a thing where the kids are sneaking away from their parents to hang out with cool Mr. Doric by his RV. So instead of it being full-on session, it kind of becomes they kind of sneak over, and maybe Doric is oblivious to the fact that the parents don't like it. And they're like, oh, these kids just happen to come at random times. And, you know, you got nothing else to do. So you're helping these kids. And maybe Roll Side in this time has been giving, like, doing story times where they're changing. He will, like, he's changing his face. Change his face for different characters, doing impersonations. So that he's definitely more well-liked than Doric by the parents. But the kids love, you know, Uncle Doric and his combat trainings and his crazy Mandalorian stories. All right, so.
Now, I'd let you try and use... Now, you've been very, very good, so I'd let you try and use the blasters, but that would cause the hole to depressurize.
So after a day or two, let's say the Twi'leks all get dropped off at a different planet, and it's just you, Rolsot, Trixie, and the sleeping Athorian, who I think that every time Doric has seen them, they've been asleep, pretty much in like one of two chairs, just asleep.
I think we see sort of Doric going through like the last little checklist in his RV. We can see that where once it sort of had a little bit of a depression nest energy, it is absolutely spotless. We can see a very well maintained weapons rack in the corner, and we see him glance at a stack of papers. And quickly sort of put them inside a safe. And we can see there's some pictures, some drawings the little Twi'leks made.
Aw, adorable. If you're okay, I don't know if you want to bother the Athorian. If not, we'll just have this ride continue until one morning, say a day or so later. Trixie, you'll hear over the PA.
We'll be at Eridu in a few hours, so if there's anything you want to get off this thing, get it now, get it ready. We're only going to be here for just enough to get you off. I am on a tight schedule.
I expect nothing less. quick question. What does Doric know about Athorians and their sleep patterns?
I don't know. I don't know Doric's life. This is your character. Does he have a lot of experience with Athorians?
This sounds like a xenology check.
I think it's a xenology check as well.
How rare do you think Athorians are?
I don't know. You don't see them too often in the game. I'd say moderate, I guess. I wouldn't say they're like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm seeing one, but it's like, I can't remember the last time I saw an Athorian.
So, 2 purple?
Yeah, we'll go with 2 purple. He knows
Doric nothing. Doric did not study xenology. The Mandalorian perspective was, what do you need to learn alien biology for? It's pretty simple. You know where to stab them, and you know not where not to look in the shower.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to, is that the Mandalorian xenology training is combat-oriented. I mean, maybe, I guess, you could have said they might have talked about sleep patterns, because maybe you want to attack at night or something, but you definitely know how to maybe hurt one, or you think you at least do, because you don't have any successes or anything, but you kind of vaguely remember what you think is a Thorian, but I think I will say that right now that what you're thinking for your Thorian knowledge is actually Mon Calamari knowledge. So if you were to attack this guy, you're going to hit him in the Mon Calamari sweet spots. And it probably won't be as effective if a fight happens.
I think the one correct thing he might know is, like, they can shout really loud.
Yeah, yeah. Something truly inconsequential.
Well, actually, he just says, man, they're known for, like, shouting really loudly. He just doesn't know that they can, like, hurt people by shouting that loud.
Yeah.
He genuinely doesn't know that. All right. Anyway, Dork attacks.
Attacks him while he sleeps.
So.
So you guys get to Eridu and do, have any last words? Do you want the last scene with Trix, or is it just, hey, thanks for the ride?
Thanks for the ride. He pauses for a second. If you ever are in need of a business opportunity, he takes out one of Anarchy's many, many comm numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Just, tell her you met her through a fellow named Dork.
Sure. She'll exchange her communication number.
If you don't die doing this, and you ever need a ride, you can call me.
Thank you. And if you... Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to die. You're just doing normal trade of things. If you don't die... And you ever need a hand, let me know. If you ever need a hand or a blaster or a helmet or Dork for the thousandth time is befuddled at how Skip can put his foot in his mouth so often, yet somehow remove that foot just as quickly.
She will just kind of, you guys exchange this pleasantry. Rolsod is getting, he's gathering up whatever last little possessions, maybe some knickknacks that the kids made for you guys, as it were. And he's just kind of looking at him, smiling, and go, okay.
Oh, well, if you don't want these, hey, what do you say? I'll just take them. That's fine. Right?
And they're like, little, you know, like kids' drawings, crayons of, you know, stick figure Dork with a big old sword in his hand and that kind of stuff, riding on a desert worm or whatever animal he said in the story.
Yeah, however many of them you want. And we see him very subtly take a particularly favorite droid and kind of put it out of sight.
Aww.
However many you want.
So, as Trix is walking away, you just see her stop, look at the Ithorian, go,
Moma, are you just going to sleep? Or are you actually going to work on the engine? This thing's been sluggish for like 3 days.
And the door is kind of closed.
Beautiful.
So you are on Eridu. You have your speeder Winnebago or whatever we want to call it. And you are looking for the Count's contacts. You're going to go back to the Count's direct headquarters, or what are you thinking of?
As far as Dork knows, what's the current state of the operations here?
How much contact has Dork had in the last year with the Count? Would he routinely be checking in with the Count, or is it as needed type situation?
Very much an as needed type situation, unless the Count has like warned him actively. Most of his talk with the Count is like purely like I need X thing basically.
Okay, I'll say this. You did mention that Dork kind of requested time off from the Count. Mm-hmm. And that the message you sent wasn't really answered. It was kind of like one of those generic, like, I'm out of the office type things. So the response you got was that he was too busy to respond. I trust you to make the right decision. Very generic. Like, it wasn't personalized in any way. You can imagine it just being sent out to just cover all bases. Whoever's asking for something, he's like, it's essentially saying, I don't have time to deal with your little stuff. I'm dealing with big stuff.
You know, it was really, really lucky that Anarchy hacked the payroll software to make sure I got all my vacation days that I never used back when I worked for her father and mother. I mean, you know, technically, I suppose, she could have hacked it to give me infinite days off, but, I mean, nah, that's just horrible.
Rolsa asks,
hey, yo, I thought we were going to Malachor. Well, what are we doing here on Eridu?
Now, look, we are going on a very dangerous mission, right? But if we're going to go on a very dangerous mission that might get us both killed, we should do as much as we can to make sure, you know, preparation is the term. Just because we're going to be outnumbered doesn't mean we shouldn't prepare to be outnumbered. Dork sighs and again tries to remember like the lines from his like trainers and like how you.
Oh, okay, I get it. We're stocking up just in case. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, like the Book of Wowser says, you have to be prepared. You have to have your spark blooms. You have to have your Tanuki suits. I don't know, that already sounds Star Warsy enough for me. You have to have those ready to go if you want to win. You just can't go in little. You have to go in big and ready to go. I get you.
Damn it, Dwayne. It took me a second. It's like finances. You take one up or you take 12 down.
Get it. Now you got to be careful. You never know. You know, I heard rumor is that, you know, every once in a while that one up, that could be poison. But really, all I heard is, you know, if you get too many one-ups, the next one will be poison. But, you know, I always took that as a metaphor for, you know, when life is going really well, really smooth, you know, and you let your guard down, you know, that's when you're going to get hit by something. It's inevitable. Inevitable. So, you know, I get you. You just got to watch out for that green mushroom. Well, the green mushroom with the white spots. Not to be confused with the white mushroom with the green spots. Well, that's what we say from back where I'm from.
Back on Mandalore, we always said you never eat a mushroom that's green.
Hoo-hoo! Oh, you are missing out. Because when it's all over, you and I, we will enjoy some food.
Okay, I had a cousin that nearly died because he ate a green mushroom, but, you know.
Hey, it's all about how well you can prepare. You got to make sure it's cooked just right. Or, you know, it happens. And you don't want it to happen, you know.
Dork, who comes from a culture that takes a certain amount of pride in knowing how to prepare various foods that would otherwise kill you, takes this with about as much stride as he can muster.
Yeah, I would think that Dork is like, I wonder if it's a Claudike, you know, physical thing. That can they eat poison mushrooms that no one else can and they just don't know it? We've already established xenobiology, not a Dork strength.
Really did not take that elective in class.
No, that was the one he took as a bonus. He got that C+, just passed. He was more worried about PE and that kind of stuff.
No, I think he could have taken the higher level courses, but he was like, I want to keep my GPA.
Exactly.
My WPA, my warrior point average.
I love the Mandalorian schools we're setting up in our heads here. All right, so you guys are, I assume you're taking
Uncle, the Mandalorian High School spinoff.
That's going to be our next version of Flyris. It's going to be Mandalorian High School.
It's over with two BO teams.
Exactly.
See? So I'm plugging your shows, Dwayne.
It's all coming together. So are you taking the Space Winnebago to one of the Count's facilities? Are you getting a smaller vehicle? I mean, the Winnebago is not so unseemly like you wouldn't be able to drive it on Eridu.
It would be extremely noticeable. I think Dork is going to find a relatively cheap parking area and keep it there and then take a speeder to the Count's.
So are you renting a speeder or are you getting like a taxi?
If I get a taxi, I have a feeling that a certain sort of scene is going to go down with a certain character archetype.
Hey. All right. Parking dogs here on Eridu, apparently.
If you want to do that scene, we can, but I otherwise Dork will just rent a speeder and drive it himself.
No, it's fine. I always have, you know. Relax. Alright, so, yeah, you guys just go to whatever the space equivalent of a Hertz rental car is, and you rent, I assume, a simple two-passenger speeder. Well, I guess, no, you'd probably want more cargo space, right? You're not going to get, like, a Mitsubishi. You want to get, like, a truck or something.
Yeah, so like a hatchback or something. There's some room in the bed that he can, like, put items if he needs to move them back. But what a bag, though.
Sure. Yeah, you get your vehicle and you start driving towards. Are you going for the Count's main facility, like where like you know he lived? Or you're like, oh, I know the safe house over here.
I have a feeling if the area where the Count lived, you would probably that it's probably the best place to find the people who will like sell him stuff. You know.
Sure. All right, so you are heading towards the large building that you knew as the Count's main base of operations. And as you get closer, as you're driving, give me a perception check against two purple, we'll say.
Perception, a skill that is not as bad as xenology. I jinxed it. I got two failures and four advantage. I've been racking up some advantage.
Yeah, I will say the failures, you definitely didn't notice the thing I thought you would notice. Mm-hmm. But I guess you can hold on to those, maybe use them as a floating boost in a moment or so.
As you get if something happens.
Yeah, as something happens. So as you get closer to where the Count's building should be, you notice that there is less traffic on Eridu as you're used to seeing. That's one of your advantages. Do you notice that, hey, there should be more cars or more speeders or whatever the equivalent is?
Oh, they finally got that new Hyperline built.
And you turn that
Elon
last...
Musk made his... I'm sorry. I would sincerely apologize. Elon Musk should not exist in the Star Wars timeline. Elon Musk shouldn't exist in any timeline.
Does exist, he's a villain. We all know that.
Yes.
So you turn the corner about where you're used to seeing the Count's main facility, and Doric sees that there is half a building where the old building would say was like maybe 10, 20, 30 stories, whatever it was. It is half its height. And the half that's missing, this is definitely not, oh, hey, they're doing construction. This building, I won't even make you roll because Doric knows war, that building was exploded. It was blown up from the inside.
Well, that's not how it's supposed to look.
Rolsaw goes,
oh, I don't think any building is supposed to look like that.
There are a lot of... what looks like, I wouldn't call them cops, but other people around. And I'll say your advantages is that he notices that the streets are being patrolled, that there is definitely a law enforcement of some kind on this planet that definitely was not here the last time Doric was on world.
Doric very calmly keeps driving. Okay, well that's fine. I can work with that. Doric goes through the sort of mental list of places on area do and picks out a safe house. Well, he's still alive. I know that. Yeah, I can work with this. Okay. He tries to give Rolsat a a reassuring smile, but there's just a little bit too much teeth in it.
And he just kind of looks at you and goes,
yeah, oh, hey, oh, that, this is already going bad, isn't it?
Could always be worse.
And like on cue, I'm going to flip a dark side point. And behind Doric there is, again, this is, I would say, flashing lights. There are that law enforcement that you saw out there. There are looking back. Let's make this interesting. We are going to roll a six-sider. And there are three police vehicles behind you, all with their lights on, speeding up. One's coming up behind you. Two are coming to the side of you. And you are just hearing over the PA system. Doric Thrawn, pull over now. And I'm going to ask you, are you going to stop or are we going to have a chase scene?
Doric sighs. Well, there we are. Deshaisha. And he immediately guns it. We see in the subtitles. Well, there we are. Worse. Time for me to use my
pilot planetary.
Pilot planet. Yes. All these years of chauffeuring for the twins.
So let's say this. Let's roll for initiative. It's time for a chase scene.